Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Dreamcatcher podcast. Since the dawn of time, people have been governed by leaders. Leaders typically possess a set of skills and personality traits that facilitate their ability to guide, make decisions, and direct their subordinates to accomplish common goals. In theory, this is what is expected of a leader. But often, the individuals who take up this role do not follow through. History has plenty of examples of incompetent and ruthless rulers who left their kingdoms in a state of disarray, chaos, and destruction. Fortunately, some leaders chose differently. Their policies centered on creating better conditions for their people, and they were influenced by enlightened ideas on leadership. In this episode, we'll look at some of the most beloved leaders in history, and what we can learn from them and their leadership style. By learning about these rulers, not only will you become a better leader in your own life, but you'll want to improve your ability to elect more competent leaders. Four lessons from the most benevolent leaders of history. Since the dawn of time, people have been governed by leaders. In the past, kingdoms were led by tribal chiefs, kings, queens, and nobility. Over the years, leadership roles have shifted from these autocratic titles to democratic ones, such as president and prime minister. Even though leadership labels and regimes have changed, the concept has stayed the same. Leaders typically possess a set of skills and personality traits that facilitate their ability to guide, make decisions, and direct their subordinates to accomplish common goals. In theory, this is what is expected of a leader. But often, the individuals who take up this role do not follow through. An unjust, biased, and arbitrary selection process can result in the election of a head who is unqualified, emotionally unstable, and power-hungry. With all this baggage, people under such rulership are vulnerable to the gaps in their leader's ability. History has plenty of examples of incompetent and ruthless rulers who left their kingdoms in a state of disarray, chaos, and destruction. Attila the Hun, Queen Mary I of England, Vladimir Lenin, Fidel Castro, and Mao Zedong are just a few examples. The scars of their leadership remain in the souls of many and serve as a warning to the consequences of having a leader who lacks heart. While an iron fist attitude and astute military strategies are instrumental in gaining territory and intimidating enemies, it can jeopardize people's well-being if taken too far. Leaders who overuse this approach are almost always being driven by greed and the desire for personal glory. They follow the Machiavellian leadership code that encourages a duplicitous interpersonal style, a cynical disregard for morality, a lack of empathy, and a focus on self-interest and personal gain. Fortunately, some leaders chose differently. Their policies centered on creating better conditions for their people. They were influenced by enlightened ideals on leadership. These ideas were propagated by the doctrines of the Roman Pater Familias and Confucianism, which states that a leader's primary purpose is to serve the people and guide them. Rulers influenced by these principles are responsible for ushering their states into eras of progress, peace, efficiency, and stability. Ancient leaders like Cyrus of Persia and Ashoka of India, and leaders from modern history like Churchill, Gandhi, and Mandela are prime examples. Their contributions were profound and changed the course of history for the better. Conscious and heart-centered leadership is needed now more than ever. Pertinent global issues that involve environmental ethics, world peace, and the resolution of inequality and world hunger and poverty can only be fixed with a compassionate form of supervision. We need to move away from fear-based devices like armies and firearms to ones that are rooted in compassion and wisdom, like negotiation, collaboration, and cooperation. If we have to evolve towards an elevated plane of existence as a species, we have to choose leaders who are capable of taking us there. Although the past cannot offer us a magic formula or a precise template for benevolent and effective leadership, it does suggest patterns and nuances from which we can glean a balanced leadership style. Through their life stories, great leaders have shown us the nature of benevolent leadership and potential outcomes. Here are four lessons that we can learn by their example. Number one, good leadership requires a balance of both masculine and feminine energy. Leadership has traditionally been associated with masculine qualities like assertiveness, independence, action orientation, and rational and logical thinking. However, too much masculine energy to the exclusion of gentler feminine traits can cause an imbalance. Good leadership requires a combination of masculine and feminine characteristics, such as empathy, relationship-based intuition, receptivity, patience, and compassion. Mahatma Gandhi is someone who was able to establish this balance in his leadership approach. Even though he was determined to achieve his end goal, which is India's independence from British colonization, he successfully enforced his will through a policy of non-violence and civil disobedience versus outright aggression and brute force. Number two, a solid sense of ethics and morality form the bedrock of benevolent leadership. You can't be a benevolent leader if you're not a person of good character, with a moral compass that points to what is right and wrong. A foundation of personal ethics will influence a leader to create rules that are fair and just for everyone. During her tenure as First Lady, Eleanor Roosevelt was an advocate for the civil rights of African Americans, as well as a supporter for women's rights. In her syndicated newspaper column titled My Day, she voiced her thoughts on various social and political issues. After her husband's death, she served as a U.S. delegate to the United Nations, where she played a key role in drafting the Universal Declaration of Rights. Number three, being a good leader doesn't make you naive and ignorant. Benevolent leaders are often seen as being too soft, naive, passive, and yielding by their contemporaries. It was feared that the head of state could easily be taken advantage of by their more cunning and cutthroat enemies. Although kind and trusting leaders have been exploited and crushed in the past, it's essential to understand that it wasn't their altruism that got them into trouble, but other factors such as a lack of good strategy and foresight to prepare them for potential threats. Queen Elizabeth I was a tolerant ruler who tried to make England a fairer place for everyone. However, she was always one step ahead of everyone. She was a strong and formidable leader who wasn't shy of using her clever, shrewd, and ruthless ways to protect her country's interest. Number four, leaders make the best decisions when they listen and learn. The archaic model of leadership implied that the king or queen was bestowed with godlike powers that instilled an inherited ability to make the best decisions for their people. Leaders raised with this belief developed a sense of grandiosity, convinced that they could make any decision despite what their subjects thought. King Louis XVI is one such example. He was eventually beheaded by the French revolutionaries for his ignorance. A benevolent ruler, on the other hand, has the wisdom to know that the best decisions are the ones that are made through discussion and alliance. They step out of their ego mindset and listen to their constituents and make informed decisions based on that communication. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, President John F. Kennedy insisted that he listen to various points of view from his advisors before deciding how to tackle the Soviet challenge in Cuba. He believed in the value of selecting strong and independent subordinates as a safeguard against making poor decisions. No matter how vast their kingdom is, a leader has a sole responsibility to construct policies that will collectively benefit everyone. Before signing any paper, they need to ask themselves if approving a particular course of action will improve the life of another. Whether they realize it or not, their jurisdiction affects the destinies of many. This is a responsibility that shouldn't be taken lightly. All my best on your journey. Celine. Hey everyone! Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.